Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5, we'll be reading two verses, verses 17 and 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And if you found that, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. I'll read verse 17 if you'll join with me on verse number 18 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And let's pray this morning. Father, again, it's good to bow before you. Thank you for the Word of God that we can hold in our hands. Lord, you've given us something that we can use on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that this morning you bless the speaker. I pray you bless the special before the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts, by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. To love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise, we let all within us praise His holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise His name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power.
Brother and Ms. Rivera, I worked with Rock of Ages down in Florida. Nancy Sue's dad and mom, always good to have them in for a visit this today as well. So very good. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, a Christmas wish list. A Christmas wish list. This will probably be the very least theological message I've ever preached in this pulpit. And believe it or not, all right? You say, you can get worse? Yeah, it can get worse, all right? So let me just, but bear with me. We're going somewhere. It's pretty convenient at Christmas time to read a passage that deals with how to take care of your pastor. But just bear with me a little bit, okay? And hear me out on this. So let's pray together a Christmas wish list. Heavenly Father, thank You again, as we've said many times during these days. Thank You for the coming of Your Son to this world. And we certainly rejoice in it. Help me today. And I pray, Lord, that You'll use this as only You could to encourage individuals in our church as a whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is giving instruction to Timothy concerning matters that involve the local church. That's basically what the entire book of 1 Timothy and even 2 Timothy is about. We call them pastoral epistles because Timothy was pastoring the church there in Ephesus. Titus is a pastoral epistle because he was working with churches on the island of Crete. In verses 17 and 18, Paul gives some specific instruction concerning the financial care of the pastor. Now, I'm not preaching it because you need to know that this morning, but I want you to get the context. And you visitors, bear with me. I'm not up here this morning saying, hey, you guys take care of me, okay? I'll say more about that in a second. But look at the word, look at the verse here. That the elders that rule well. Look at that word rule. That's not like a dictator. We know that because comparing Scripture to Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter said, you're not a lord over God's heritage. This, you know, and I've said this before, as pastors, we use the terminology my church, my people. But that's very generic. We understand, I think most of us understand, this church is not Terry Angel's church. This is the Lord's heritage right here, okay? You are the people of God. We are the people of God, okay? And so, but I use that terminology, we do, but we understand that not to rule like a dictator. The word means to oversee, okay? So the one that oversees well, the Bible says, if he, let the elders that rule well, if he does his job responsibly and properly, okay, then let him be counted worthy of double honor. Honor is a term of value. And when you compare Scripture to Scripture, he is talking here about financial purposes, financial matters for a pastor. He says, now look, if you've got a pastor, the one especially who teaches and preaches, look at what it says, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So if you've got a pastor who's overseeing responsibly and is doing his job properly, and he's laboring in the word and laboring in doctrine and bringing messages to the people that are helpful and beneficial and practical, let them be counted worthy of double value, double honor. Then he uses an Old Testament reference in verse number 18. For, he goes back in the Old Testament, the Scripture in the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. By the way, in the Bible, an ox is often symbolic of a prophet or a preacher, okay? And so he says here, don't muzzle the ox who treads out the corn. Now, that's talking literally. If you're in agriculture and you're in the grain business and you've harvested some crops and you're gonna grind out the crops and put the grain out there. You got the ox, he's hitched up to the threshing wheel, the grinding wheel, and he's gonna go round and round in circles and get the job done. And he said, man, put as much food out there as he needs. Don't muzzle him. Make him happy. Keep him happy. Feed him. Don't withhold anything that will help him, keep him from getting the job done. So that's a literal admonition to those that have an ox. But the teaching here was not so much for the ox as it was in Old Testament days about employees or servants. And Moses was saying, look, you got a productive employee. You got a productive servant. Well, man, if they're getting the job done, take care of them. That makes sense, doesn't it? You don't want to starve the guy that's getting the job done. Keep him fed. Don't put financial restraints on the guy that's getting the job done. I keep seeing people, Jesse and Jamie are here. I keep seeing people. And by the way, Jesse's sporting hardware this time that she didn't have last time she was here. So that means go by and look at the finger on her, the ring on her finger, okay? But good to have Jesse here, all right? I keep seeing people, and I should have mentioned folks, and I don't want to miss anybody. This says you got a productive servant. Feed him. Keep him happy. Treat him well. And so Paul reaches all the way back in the Old Testament, and he grabs that principle, and he puts it to work here in the New Testament. And he says about pastors, does the church have a pastor who is taking his responsibility seriously? Is he bringing helpful, practical messages from the Bible? Is he pastoring effectively? And make sure he's not burdened down with monetary problems. Take care of him. You don't want him worried and anxious over money when he can spend time in the Word and doctrine and carrying on the work of the ministry. That's what Paul is teaching here. And I just want to say here that over the years, Faith Baptist Church has been very gracious to me and my family. Very, very gracious. People have been gracious. The church has been gracious corporately. People are gracious individually. And I'm certainly thankful for the good care that this church has done. And I hope you feel like you've gotten your money's worth. You probably haven't, but I hope you feel like you have. I hope you don't feel like the Bears, didn't get their money's worth out of Jay Cutler and benched him, okay? And so, I guess that's what you can do. If you're not getting your money's worth, bench me, okay? And Brother Mike or Brother Luke or Brother Mick can preach or somebody else. But anyway, and I say that on purpose this morning. The church has been very gracious. Very, very, very gracious to us, and I appreciate it so very, very much. Now, Christmas time. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Christmas time. So, gift giving is on people's minds. You say, yeah, it's pretty interesting. You bring up the care of the pastor at the time when people are giving Christmas gifts. Hey, I have said over the years, you've been here, you've heard me, I'd rather you invest money to buy a gift for your family, your kids, your loved ones, than to invest money in gifts for me. It's not that I don't like gifts. I'm normal. All right? And you get a gift. It's very nice to get a gift. I understand. You understand that. I'm normal. But if you are looking for something on the pastor's wish list, I have some ideas for you. Do you ever make a wish list? When the kids got older, trying to figure out, there's a big difference in just going and buying a gift and buying something that they can use, need, benefit from, right? So Joyce came up with the idea that we're going to make lists. And she sends out this list by way of email to the married kids, especially on the years when we're hosting Christmas for the family. And it has categories, books, clothing, tools, games, miscellaneous, five categories, something like that. And the kids are supposed to fill one of those sheets out. Dad, mom, and each one. And by the way, how many of you have done some form of online shopping this Christmas season? Put your hands in the air. Look at that. Hey, is that not, that's the berries, friend. That is the way to do it. There was one thing I didn't get online, and when I got to the store, I'm saying to myself, now I know why I'm shopping online. And, and now they got these retailers that have wish lists. So your grandkids can go to the wish list, the Toys R Us or someplace, and then you see what some things that they thought were interesting. And so you may fill out a wish list, but I made a pastor's Christmas wish list. I may not finish it. I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to read it to you this morning. As may I make a comment or two along the way, but probably not a whole lot of comments. So this is my Christmas wish list. Want to get something for the pastor? Want to do something for the pastor? I got a wish list for you. I made a list. Well, number one, I have a wish that we'd have one more man to help Brother Greg work on buses on Saturday morning. That'd be a great, great blessing. Great, great blessing. You say, well, I got a little time I could invest. I don't know anything about mechanics. Do you know the difference between a wrench and a screwdriver? Do you know the difference between a ratchet and a socket? And Brother Greg says, get me. You ever heard of a gopher? Yeah? I'm talking about that. Just one more man to faithfully help Brother Greg, mechanic on the buses on Saturday morning. That's on my wish list. Now, these are not in priority. These are just things I thought of. Number two, Christmas wish list would be five people in our church to stop smoking. Five people to stop smoking for the new year. I think, first of all, it'd be a healthy thing. It'd be a healthy thing. You say, you got people in your church who smoke, don't you? I mean, don't you smoke? I'm not saying don't you smoke. I'm saying, don't you? I wouldn't want to pastor a church that didn't have somebody fighting a tobacco problem. Because that means you're not reaching anybody. So I won't have a church that has, it smells like a chimney in certain sections. I don't like that. Well, then find you 12 people who are all dedicated and sold out and have no problems and join that church. Or you can be a part of a church that's trying to reach people. So five people. But, if you're a smoker, you ought to give it up. You ought to give it up. Bad testimonies, bad for your health. Got to give it up. Five people to stop smoking in the new year. What's on your Christmas? My Christmas wish list? 100 people to pray every day for the Sunday services. 100 people to pray every day for the Sunday services. And I don't mean get down on our knees and spend. No, if you want to do that, that's fine. But throughout the day, some kind of little alert or tone on your cell phone, your iPhone, or something that goes off and you think to yourself, oh, yeah, that reminds me. God bless our services this coming Sunday. What if you had 100 people doing that 4 or 5 times a day? That's 400 prayers. Brother Scott, think about that. 400 prayers, 7 days a week. God bless. I wouldn't even want to guess how many folk go a whole 7 days and never think of a thing about the coming Sunday services. But if you had 100 people who prayed every day, just simply, God bless our services this Sunday. That's on my Christmas wish list. Number four, 10 people to forgive someone and release them from some offense. Boy, that's a big one right there. But you know, if I could, if that's my wish, you want to give me something? If you've got a grudge against somebody, because here's what happened, folks. Unforgiveness is always accompanied by bitterness. Eventually. Unforgiveness becomes bitterness. Eventually. It happens. And, you know, it's like she said, he said, they did, they didn't do. And I'm you know what, I'm not letting that go. And it's not that you can't let it go, it's that you won't let it go. And the whole concept is, I'm going to hurt that person by not forgiving them. And you never hurt them. You hurt yourself. And those around you. That's what the Bible says. Bitterness defiles you, poisons you. If I'm poisoned and I touch him, he's my son in my home, I poison him. I trouble him. She's my daughter, I trouble her. He's my husband, she's my wife, I trouble them. If I could, my Christmas wish list would be 10 people to forgive someone. Because you know what? Offenses do come. And what happens is, you know, offenses come because you know why offenses come? Because there is no perfect dad. There is no perfect husband. There is no perfect wife. There's no perfect mother. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect child. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect church member. There's no perfect friend anywhere. So offenses are going to come. And it's what you and I do with those offenses that determines whether or not we poison somebody else. Let it go. If you could give me something for Christmas, if you've got a grudge against somebody, if we had 10 people to forgive someone, that would be a great Christmas gift on my wish list. Number 5 would be 20 new people to participate in organized soul-winning visitation once a week in the new year. 20 new people to participate in organized soul-winning visitation once a week in 2015. You say, man, we've got all these new and innovative ways to get the gospel out, like I preached a few months ago, keeping feet on the ground. I'm for the new and innovative ways, but you can't get away from the timeless method that Jesus patterned for us when He sent out the 12 2x2, and then He sent out the 70 2x2. You can't get away from that. 20 new people to participate in organized soul-winning visitation once a week. You say, Pastor, I'd go, but I don't know what to say. I'd go, but I'm afraid I don't know what to say at the door. We have folks you could go with. 20 new people to participate in organized soul-winning visitation once a week. Christmas wish list number 6. 10 people to win their first soul to the Lord in 2015. 10 people to win their first soul to the Lord in 2015. And I'll promise you, if that happens for you, it'll be one of the greatest days of your life. You'll love it. Number 7, 5 people to stop drinking. 5 people to stop drinking. It's amazing to me how politically correct it is for all of our public officials to be anti-smokers. Because smoking kills. Hand me another martini. While I get some people together to be anti-smokers, pour me another scotch. That's nonsense, folks. I promise you, alcohol has killed more, if not many more, than smoking has ever killed. It's a double standard. It's hypocrisy. 5 people to stop drinking. Pour it down the sink, break the bottles, and get victory over alcohol of any sort. 5 people to stop drinking. Number 8, 20 families to decide that Psalm 101:3 is their standard for their television and their movies, which says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's your standard. Now, Brother Kendrick stood up here and told everybody to get rid of their television set. I don't have a problem with that. I didn't have one when our kids were small either. I'm not telling you to get rid of your television set. I don't think it hurts you. You might go through withdrawals. I don't think it hurts you. But if you have one, I hope that you will decide, Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. For your television, your videos, movie system. Christmas wish list, pastor's wish list. Number 9, 15 couples to begin family devotions. 15 couples to begin family devotions. Was that John R. Rice that did that survey? Brother Brown preached about that years ago. About the percentage of families who had consistent daily devotions who did not go through a divorce. It was staggering. In a good way. If you can have family devotions. 15 couples in Faith Baptist Church who are not right now having family devotions to start having them in 2015. And have them consistently. What's on my Christmas wish list? Number 10. 10 new families or people in the church to start tithing. Start tithing. We knew you'd get around to getting money for the church. It's not about getting money for the church. It's about God blessing you. It's about God blessing you. It's about the greatest insurance program you could ever invest in. Beats anybody's returns. Because God gives it when you need it. He never defaults on His promise. 10 new families to start, or people to start tithing in 2015. Christmas wish list number 11. 12 new couples or people to join the discipleship program. Now you think about it, that's only one a month. Boy, if we could get 12 new couples or 12 individuals just one a month to join the discipleship program, teach them through the discipleship program, help them get growing in the Lord. That'd be a wonderful accomplishment for 2015. 12 new couples or people to join the discipleship program. Number 12, 30 teenagers to give their hearts to their parents. I don't want your heart. I want your parents to have your heart. Most of the parents in this church want the very best for their kids. Go to great lengths to provide good examples and protect their children from as much of the world as possible. I would love for them, you teenagers, to give your hearts to your parents. Listen to them. Parents don't want any less than best for their kids. They don't want anything less than best. So listen to your parents. Give your heart to your parents. There'd be 30 teenagers to give their hearts to their parents. Number 13, 20 new Sunday night service attendees. 20 new in 2015. 20 new Sunday night service attendees. Yeah, we do have Sunday night service. It starts at 6:30. And we have a good time on Sunday night. It's the Lord's Day. Number 14, 20 new Wednesday night attendees. 20 new Sunday night service attendees. 20 new Wednesday night service attendees for 2015. Number 15, Christmas wish list. 5 fractured family relationships to be mended. 5 fractured family relationships to be mended. I'm not talking here about husband and wife. I'm talking about this family and this family. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters-in-laws, 5 fractured family relationships to be mended. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be a blessing. Number 16, 10 new people to work in the bus ministry. The bus ministry still works if you work it. Bus ministry still works if you work it. Number 17, 5 backslidden college and career age young people to give their hearts to God. 5 backslidden college and career age young people to give their hearts to God. I think college and career is one of the most dangerous ages you'll ever live in, you'll ever go through. You're out of structured school as far as high school goes. Sometimes starting a job for the first time, moving on to college, out from underneath mom and dad's watchful eye. It is a critical time, a time in which people backslide, get away from God. 5 college and career age young people to give their hearts back to God. Number 18, what's on your Christmas wish list, Brother Angel? 10 families to reach another family in the area for Christ. 10 families to reach another family in the area for Christ. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's somebody that you run into and just begin a relationship with. But over the course of 2015, you can bring them to salvation and bring them maybe into the church. But 10 families to reach another family in the area for Christ. Number 19, Christmas wish list. And I mean this with all of my heart. 1 person to become involved in some form of local government. 1 person from Faith Baptist Church to become involved in some form of local government. Now, folks, we do not have a mandate not to be involved in government. This idea that the church can't say anything and the Christian can't do anything that influences government is not true. It's not true. There's a ton in the New Testament, a bunch. And part of the problem with our governments in America today is, as Christians, we've abandoned them. We have nobody on the city council. We have nobody that ever runs for any situation whatsoever in the local government. I think it'd be a great thing to have a voice that's not just from Faith Baptist Church, that's squared away on the Word of God and a good Christian who could be an influence in some form of local government. 1 person for 2015. And by the way, I don't know how many of you saw the open letter to the Bourbonnais Police Department. It was in Thursday's paper, right next to the editorial page. OK, Okay? And that, folks, that's not all my idea. That was a conglomerate thing that came together very quickly. And some minds. And by the way, in light of yesterday's events in New York City, I'm really glad that came out in the paper on Thursday. If you didn't see the journal, you don't know what we're talking about. There's an open letter to the Bourbonnais Police Department just thanking them for their efforts to protect our community. And if you were here Wednesday night, and I said, I told you what I thought was happening in our country, if yesterday didn't prove that, it proved it. There is a movement right now of anti-local law enforcement. And that old boy tweeted out that he was going to kill some police officers. And he did it. He assassinated them. We need somebody in local form, in some form of local government. Number 20, what's on my wish list? I told you this was not theological, but it's all centered around biblical principle. Number 20, 15 people to start giving to the debt retirement in our building fund. 15 people to start giving to the debt retirement in our building fund. We've had another great year in that. And we'll see that, fellas, when we go to the financial meeting in January. I'm not talking about robbing Peter to pay Paul, moving money from general fund to building fund, to start giving to the building fund. If you're not doing that, 15 people to do that. In any amount, any small or large, doesn't matter, just some amount. Number 21, what's on my Christmas wish list? 40 children and teens who will read a chapter in Proverbs every day. 40 children and teenagers who would read a chapter in Proverbs every day. So on January 1st, you read Proverbs 1. January the 10th, you're in Proverbs chapter 10. And I'll promise you, the time spent investing in reading one chapter in Proverbs as a young person will benefit you for life. It's the greatest book in the world written to young people, bar none. The book of Proverbs. 40 children and teenagers who will read a chapter in Proverbs every day. Number 22, 100 people in Faith Baptist Church, 150 people in Faith Baptist Church who will read through the New Testament in 2015. 150 read through the New Testament from Matthew 1 to Revelation 22. Over the course of a year, 150 people in our church who will read through the New Testament in 2015. You say, well, it doesn't take very long to read through the New Testament in a year's time. Folks, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. There are a lot of folks in this church who've never read the New Testament through in a calendar year. A lot of folks. Never done it. It's just a little bit every day. I know it's that bit of honey. It's that little bit of honey. You still got your bit of honey? You ate it, didn't you? I know you did. That's all right. You ate it. A little bit of honey refreshes your spirit and what? Restrains your flesh. Keeps your flesh under control. 150 people who'd read through the New Testament in 2015. I think it'd be great. Number 23, my wish list, 25 people who will read through the entire Bible for the first time in 2015. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Read the entire Bible, calendar year. 25 people who would do that for the first time. Number 24, 20 people who would give up contemporary Christian music. You say, Pastor, you think there's that many people that listen to contemporary? Yeah. A lot of young people. A lot of college-age people. Fat Adam! Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Been doing it for years. That's playing out in their lifestyle. Contemporary music leads to contemporary Christianity. 20 people who would give up contemporary Christian music. So it's easier to go buy you a gift. I know. What's on the pastor's Christmas wish list? 25, number 25. Only got 30, so we're okay. 5 men to start helping as ushers. Brother Joe, I'm waiting on you. Amen? Yes. 5 men to start. He's thinking, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? 5 men to start helping as ushers. We could use some men to help as ushers on Sunday and Wednesday. Number 26. Here's one. 5 young people to start training to be a church pianist. Well, we could use that. So you mean girls? No, I said young people on purpose. I love male pianists who play like men, not like women. Women should play like women. But when the man's over there, that bothers me, okay? Bothers me. But that'd be good. That's a great Christmas wish. 5 young people to start training to play the piano in church services. Number 27, 10 ladies to start helping in the nursery. Women don't usually say amen, but grace? Yes, right. All right. We make an exception today. It's Christmas. 10 ladies to start helping in the nursery. It's an ongoing need all the time. Mothers having babies and having to stay out for a while and coming back in. 12 ladies to start helping in the nursery. Boy, oh boy. They say, well, I could only do it once a month. I know it can't be a whole... You can't believe how much once a month helps. You just can't. Number 28, Christmas wish list. 10 people who used to go soul winning to start again. Start again. Number 29, a Christmas wish list is for 5 unsaved spouses to get saved. Some of you come to church without your husband or wife because they're lost. They love to see them get saved. And then number 30, and this list is not exhaustive, but I figured it's all we had time for. Number 30 is for every church member who is not saved to get saved. Well, Pastor, you mean every visitor? No. Every church member who's not saved to get saved. And visitors. But especially church members. Because getting wet in the baptistry and saying a prayer because your parents told you to at age 6 is not salvation. Getting your name on the church roll is not salvation. Salvation is something that God does in your heart when you come to Christ in repentance and faith and be saved. I'll say this morning to any visitor or church member here, we're celebrating the most special time of the year, in my opinion. So, well, it's a Christmas and it's all pagan. You know, folks, then stop dating your checks. Because January is pagan. And so is June, and so is all the months of the calendar year. I'm beyond that, okay? Christmas is about Jesus. And Jesus came to save people from their sin. That's why Jesus came. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the reason Christ came to this earth is so that you could be saved. I was thinking about that this week, and I've got a couple minutes and I'm done. I was thinking about the power that is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washes us so clean that we can stand in the presence of God. You see, standing in the presence of God unnerves me, and I am saved. Unnerves me too. And I'm saved. But to stand in God's presence, watch it, as the book says in what Thessalonians or Jews, spotless. To stand in God's presence faultless before holy God makes us so clean that we can stand before Him. Not just stand before Him, but enter into His presence for the rest of eternity. Incredible. Because I know me. And you should know you. And each of us should understand and know how unholy we are. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us and we walk into the presence of God spotless. Unbelievable. And yet true. If you're not saved, you'll stand in the presence of God someday. Because everybody's going to. But you will not enter into the joy of the Lord. You'll be banished from Him forever because sin cannot stand in God's presence. Jesus came to save you from sin. If you're not saved, church member or visitor, why not receive the gift of eternal life and be saved? Your sins forgiven. And stand someday spotless before the King. That's my wish list. It's Christmas time. We'll do something for the pastor. I gave you 30 options. 30. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the privilege to stand before these people today. I love dearly with all of my heart. And Lord, I thank You for their care for me and my family for these many years. But Lord, that's not the theme of the message this morning or my heart. God, I pray that You'll use this simple discourse to touch somebody's heart today, because there are people in this room that one of those points touched. And I pray that You'll help us today. Those are all centered around developing our relationship with You and with each other. Would You help, Lord, somebody to be touched in their heart today by what was said from the pulpit? Holy Spirit, only You can do that in the heart. Please do so. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm not making any promises. I'm not going to shoot from the hip. But I will say that one or more of those 30 things you read, the Spirit of God kind of touched my heart. And I understand what you're getting at as you go through that list. God used this simple little thing to prick my heart and get me thinking. This is no promise, but I am thinking about something specific. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning if that's you all over the room? I appreciate that so much. Hands are down. God bless you. Now let me ask this question. Who's here today would say, Pastor, at the very end of the lesson, talking about being unsaved, you were talking about me. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't know if I am ready to stand before a holy God. But I heard You say that the blood of Jesus can make me ready. And I'd like to know more about that, or at least I'd like to ask You to pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. Would you slip your hand in the air? When you slip your hand up, what you're saying is, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure I'm ready to stand before a holy God. Anybody like that from side to side, front to back, this morning, member or visitor? I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there somebody here that you've been saved but not baptized since you've trusted Christ? You say, Pastor, I ought to get that done in obedience to Christ. Pray for me. Anybody like that? God's spoken to your heart about that matter in recent days or months. Anybody like that today? Our Heavenly Father, God, would You please speak to hearts now? And Lord, I thank You for every hand that went up. And I pray that the wheels of our minds and our hearts would continue to engage. And Lord, it would be a wonderful thing if we saw progress, growth, development in the lives of many people in our church for 2015. Ultimately, Lord, what all these things do, I hope, is to bring honor and glory to You, because You are worthy. No mortal man is worthy, but You are. So, Father, bless today what's been said to every heart here. In Jesus' name I pray. In just a minute, we're going to stand. If you raised your hand, God spoke to you. The wheels are turning. Maybe you'd like to take a moment and just kneel and ask the Lord to help you concentrate on those things in the new year. If you're not saved, I would just say, come to the aisle, right down the aisle, tell one of these three men, I don't know that I'm saved. Or if you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you obey God this morning. Let's let God have the next 3 or 4 minutes in this invitation time and let Him have His way in our hearts. Let's stand together, please. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed? Nobody's looking. Would you come?